Yeah, I think the key is if you're going to succeed in the internet business in the next 5 years, you really have to do something that is A, something where you own the customers, and B, something where there's a barrier to entry and your unique skills can get you beyond that barrier.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko.
James Schramko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. Today's topic is email newsletters, and I think this is really interesting. It's something that is a simple business model to set up if you want to monetize a website, if you want to go beyond AdSense or affiliate marketing. And I thought it'd be great to get back someone who I've had on the show before. Welcome to the call, Matt Paulson.
Hey, James, how are you?
Good. Now, last time we caught up, we were talking about AdSense, and you mentioned that there are other monetization models, and one that you're doing effectively is an email newsletter subscription model. And I think this would be a great topic to talk about today because most of our listeners have a website. Most of them have some kind of opt-in or newsletter or giveaway or own the race course thing where they're emailing people, tell them to go back to the website when there's new content. But what you've done is pretty cool. You've got a freemium newsletter model. So let's start out by explaining what freemium actually means.
Sure. So freemium means there's a free product, and if you get that and you only get that, you get good value out of it. It's not like a trial or something cheap and kind of useless that's just an ad to get you to buy something. It's in and of itself, it's a good product, but there's also, as part of that, there's an option to upgrade and get, you know, more if you like what you're already getting.
Excellent. And you have found a way to turn your email subscribers into paying customers. Let's talk about how that works.
Yep. So I have about 55,000 subscribers to my free newsletter. It's an investment newsletter that goes out about noon every day, and it covers what brokerages are saying about stocks. So if JP Morgan Chase upgrades, you know, whatever, Apple, and gives them a good rating and say, we think the stock's going to be worth this in a year, I compile those from about 300 different brokerages every day, and that goes out in a newsletter. But then some people want to get that information earlier in the day, and you know, they want a little bit more information that goes out in a free newsletter. So I also have a paid version that's $15 a month, where you can get that, say, a half hour before the stock market opens, so you have time to place your trades before, you know, kind of the general market does. So that's kind of how it plays out in what I do. So far, I've got, say, maybe 1,200 people subscribed to that, and I make maybe 150 grand a year from that business. So it's kind of a neat way to make some money that's not Google AdSense. It's not something that's dependent on search traffic. It's, you know, you own the customer, you own the payment method, you own the content. You know, Google can't come in and change the algorithm on you and take your subscribers away. So it's kind of a neat business model that's diversified from what a lot of people are doing.
Well, I'm a huge fan of owning the race course, so I like that. And it's got very few moving parts. I imagine to do this, you're going to need a website of some kind where you can put your offer for people to join the newsletter. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to need some way to take a subscription, like a payment gateway or a merchant facility or a PayPal account.
Yep.
And you're going to need an email system.
Yep. And there should be stuff that's, I mean, most of that code, but there's no reason that you couldn't do it with a couple of different lists and say MailChimp and using PayPal subscriptions. It would just be, you know, whenever somebody signed up, you'd have to add them to the right distribution list. So, you know, the technology isn't really that hard. You have a free list and then say a landing page you send people to with a PayPal subscription. And then when they sign up for that, then you can add them to the paid list if you wanted to.
Now, do you send people the free daily newsletter once they're paid subscribers in addition to, or do you take them off that list?
No, I take them off the list because the paid version is kind of a beefed up version of the free version. So you get the same information, but then you also get more.
Right.
So what we just call it, the free version is ARN Daily and the paid version is ARN Daily Premium. So it's kind of a superset of what's in the free newsletter. So there'd be no reason for them to get both editions.
Nice. So For a listener, if you're wondering how to do this, even systems like Aweber will allow you to have little rules. When someone joins this list, take them off that list. And it will also work well in Office Autopilot or Infusionsoft. Now, interesting, when you send out the free one, does every single one of those have a sales pitch for the paid membership?
Yep, they're pretty minimal. It'll say, subscribe to AR and Daily Premium for $14.97 per month and get this, this, and this. So it's, you know, there might be one at the top of the newsletter and one at the bottom, but it's nothing that would kind of throw people off.
And they click on that link. Where does that take them?
That'll take them to a landing page that's got a video and some text, and then just a link to sign up through Stripe or through PayPal.
Right. So it's very minimal technology required to set this up. Do you do any other types of promotions or price testing or offers in your content elsewhere? Or is it really just driving people to the free email that causes the migration to paid?
So typically what I do is I try to make it as easy as possible for people to get on the free list, you know, if they like it. There's an autoresponder series to get them to do like a 30-day trial that tends to get a lot of people. And then say, like in November, we do a Black Friday sale. And then like say in May, I do a thing where people sign up for a year. I'll give half of their payment to Charity Water. So I do a few things like that throughout the year to kind of encourage people to take action, you know, within a certain kind of window of time.
Right. Well, let's just talk pricing for a second here. Have you tested different price points and do you have different subscription options other than monthly? You mentioned an annual one just then.
Yep. So when I first started to kind of figure out the price, you know, I was looking at what, you know, paper investment newsletters cost on kind of an annual basis. And I tried to price myself somewhere in there. I've done some testing up and down and I found that, you know, $14.97 is a pretty good base price. And, you know, if I want to do a sale, I can drop it down to $9.97. I do offer annual plans. And now I've recently started offering biennial plans so people can pay $149, so that's 10 months and get kind of a year, or they can pay, I don't know, it's the equivalent to 5 months free if they want to pay for 2 years. And you know that a certain percentage of them will cancel every month. That's your churn rate. And so if you can get them to prepay for a year or 2 years even, one, you get all their money up front, which is kind of nice. And two, you know that they're guaranteed to stay subscribed for 12 or 24 months, which will reduce your churn rate significantly. So even if you want to offer them a month free or 2 months free to pay for a year, that is definitely worth doing.
And do you have a warm-up campaign close to the end of that two-year period?
Well, what I typically do is when somebody is about to have a renewal, all I do is send them an email saying, hey, you're going to renew on this date. You know, if you don't want to continue, cancel. So I don't do anything specifically to try to activate them again. But maybe that would be a smart thing to do if I...
Yeah, I've got an annual subscription plan for my memberships at fastwebformula.com. And at the 11-month mark, it just sends them a reminder that soon to do the renewal period. And same thing you're talking about. But I'm sure that it could be enhanced and updated with what's current or new at the time, because inevitably there'll be some changes. Now, does the business grow? Do you have more people coming in than who leave through natural attrition?
Yep. So right now, the way I track revenue is an annual recurring revenue. So how much is the subscriber worth to me over a year? So right now, the business is worth about $155,000 in annual recurring revenue, and that's been going up by about $10,000 a month this year. So I've had pretty good growth, but the way SaaS metrics work is, you know, eventually there will be a point where the kind of the cancellation rate hits the sign-up rate and you'll peak. And I've kind of figured that'll probably be about $250,000 a year for me. So I will have to find a way to kind of improve, you know, cut my cancellation rate or get more people to sign up or improve my conversion rate if I want to grow beyond that.
Do you do stuff like send split tests for your broadcasts where you'll send 50% of your free newsletter, one call to action, and 50%? A different call to action and see what, you know, track the cohort metrics like of that group of people if they migrate through to a longer subscription or a higher sign up rate?
So the split testing that I do is typically on, it's not in the newsletter itself. I do it more when I do like a campaign for say a discount or something, I'll try different subject lines, different opt-ins, or different calls to action, even different price points. So I do that. And then I also do a lot of split testing on the landing page itself. One of the things that I recently split tested is when I have a sale, I do like a original price and cross that out and put in a new price. And that was just doing that alone increased my conversion rates by 20%, which that was one of the better split tests for me I've done lately.
Nice. Yeah, I was interviewing Brent Hodgson about how to force multiply your online business just recently, and everything from the open, the subject line to the email copy to the call to action to the landing page to the pricing. These things can all be tested, and I guess you've got enough volume to make this work. I do have a question regarding the product itself. Do you also make stock trades? Do you have to use things like case studies, or are there onerous disclaimers that are required for a business model like yours?
Not so much. Typically, the general disclaimer for investing is that you're not making specific recommendations to buy or sell any security, and that kind of gets you out. What I do differently than most kind of investment newsletters is they'll tell you to buy this stock. What I do is I say, these people are saying buy this stock, and here's these people's track record. So I can say, Merrill Lynch says this stock has is a strong buy with this price target, then I say, well, you might not want to ignore that, because Merrill Lynch's say strong buy ratings haven't had a very good track record over the long haul. So that's kind of how I can get around it more than most people, I think. But there aren't.
So you've taken on the role of a reporter, or a you're kind of like an analyst of analysts.
Yeah. So I have like 30 different data sources for ratings I get every day. I stick that in a database, and that generates the newsletter. So I've just been able to see a place where the information isn't well reported and compile that into kind of a format that is well reported, and people have found value in that.
Nice. So what do you think the next steps for you will be as you grow this business, Matt?
So in the last 6 months, kind of my big push has been to increase kind of my revenue per subscriber. So I had an investment guide that came out that was $40 that I made about 10 grand from, and I'm trying to do just probably add a couple more products to my kind of portfolio in the next year. Right now I have two different newsletters and then kind of an investment research software. So I try to get people to sign up for one, and then maybe they'll sign up for the other one. So if I increase, you know, get people to sign up for two or three things, then my revenue per subscriber is obviously that's, you know, a lot better, and that'll increase, you know, how much my business is worth to me for a year. So that'll probably be my big focus.
Do you ever see yourself creating a community of investors, like a subscription forum, paid Facebook group, or Ning or something?
You know, there's a lot of those out there. There's a lot of investment forums, and I just don't see that as a big opportunity for me personally, because I'm, you know, I kind of know where my gifts are, and I don't think that would be it.
But it's honest and refreshing. So, well, the thing that appeals to me about your business model is that it really is quite straightforward. You have predominantly a website with an email opt-in that is relatively automated in terms of how it works, and you've got software compiling and curating. So you've been able to get the deliverable, and you're filling a gap that wasn't there in the marketplace. So it's a very clever business model. And have you seen this business model applied by people in other niches? Perhaps a listener is in a different niche altogether. Could they consider a paid newsletter market, or is it specific to investments?
No, it can be just about anything. Justin and Joe from the AdSense Flippers did something like that about a year ago after they interviewed me. They had a paid newsletter called Knit Site Gold, where they would tell people domain ideas and then they could buy them for whatever. So they've done something like that, and I've seen it applied in, you know, other areas as well. There's a podcast on the 5x5 network called Quit. They have a newsletter that's $3 or $4 a month that people can sign up for. I know Kevin Rose has a paid newsletter that people subscribe to, and they can get access to his podcast early. So there's a lot of people who are doing it in kind of a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, if you have people that want to receive email from you and you have content that's valuable to them, you could format it in such a way where, you know, a newsletter can work to be the content delivery mechanism. And, you know, if they want more of that, they can pay you for that.
And do you have any back-end sort of affiliate things like recommending brokers and getting a trailing commission or that sort of stuff?
Yep. So one thing I've started doing in about January is once they sign up for my newsletter, on the thank you page, there are, I think, 5 offers for other kind of things they can sign up for, and then I'll get, say, $3 for every one they sign up for. So that's turned into a revenue stream of about $4,000 a month just from those, because I get, say, 4,000 or 5,000 people that sign up every month, and a certain percentage of those will sign up, you know, with the kind of offers at the end of the sign-up form. Then once kind of they're on my list, you know, certainly they promote my products is the main thing, but, you know, every now and then I'll do kind of an email blast for, say, somebody that wants to advertise or through an affiliate product. And I haven't done all that well with affiliate stuff so far. So maybe I just don't know how to do it right, or I haven't found the right fit. So maybe there's an opportunity there. I just don't know what it is yet.
Well, I'm sure people would pay to be advertised in your newsletter, like mm-hmm. the solo mails, etc. I also think your format would lend itself very nicely to a daily podcast and a little bit of a, you know, social media support, driving people to that website. Mm-hmm. Do you ever take out ads in other people's financial newsletters, referring them to yours?
Yep. So typically with newsletters, the way to get new people to sign up is called co-registration. So when somebody signs up for another newsletter, they might get an ad to sign up for my newsletter as well. There's a network called After Offers that a guy named Timothy Berkman runs that I advertise through them, and I pay, say, $2.50 for every subscriber. And then I know that somebody that subscribes to that list will be worth $7 to me over their lifetime. So I'll make money doing that. I have tried a few other kind of investment-specific things, and I haven't gotten those to work out quite as well. So right now, the only thing I'm doing is the co-registration thing with the After Offers. There's another one called Investing Media Solutions or something like that that I did. And that was okay, but it wasn't enough to justify throwing $3,000 to do it every month. So right now, most of my traffic is just organic, and that's done pretty well for me.
Have you tried replacing AdSense banners with banners for your own product in those niches?
Well, typically the Analyst Ratings Network website is not really the front door for the newsletter. I have a few different investment sites. One of them is AmericanBankingNews.com. They get traffic from like Google Finance and Bing Finance. Those really drive the traffic to the newsletter. The Analyst Ratings Network website is really the place to send people that are already on the list.
Gotcha. And have you tried retargeting or banner marketing?
I did try retargeting. I don't, you know, the metrics that they give you are, I think they're kind of, some of them are kind of fishy because they, you know, they'll track somebody that looked at your ad and signed up later as a conversion. It's called a view-through conversion. And just because they looked at the ad doesn't mean that's what caused them to sign up. And I don't know that I entirely trusted the metrics I was looking at. So, and I just didn't see all that great results from it. So I just decided to not move forward with that.
Cool. And have you been doing stuff like forum marketing or Facebook groups?
I have not done either of those.
Huh. Well, I'm sure you're sitting on a gold mine there. So what do you think the biggest mistakes you've made in setting up your newsletter have been so far?
I think I was probably too aggressive in promoting the premium newsletter early on. I would do like a campaign every month, and I think that caused people to expect to always get a discount on everything. So if I were starting again, I wouldn't do that. And probably another big mistake I made was initially when I started, the only payment method I accepted was PayPal. And when I started adding, you know, just credit cards through Stripe, that was a pretty big increase when I turned that on. I'm sure there have been some, but I can't think of what they'd be off the top of my head.
Right. And why did you even get started with this business model?
Now, that is a great question. I had a website called American Banking News that just got a ton of traffic from Google News and Google Finance. And one day I tripped up whatever the people that monitor was at, and I got removed from Google News, and all of a sudden my traffic got cut in half overnight. So my AdSense got cut in half overnight. And it's like, well, if I'm going to succeed in this long term, I can't be dependent on Google for every dollar I make. So I figured, you know, if I'm going to do this right, I need to have my own list and find a product that I own that I can sell to them, so that, you know, I don't need to depend on Google or Apple or any other big company to, you know, fill my coffers every month.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's nice now. I imagine with this plus your AdSense income, you've got a little bit of a spread on your risk.
Yep.
Tell me about the email stuff from a technical point of view. What system do you use to capture and to send your emails?
So for email delivery, I use SendGrid. They have a light plan that's 10 cents per 1,000 emails, so it's pretty cheap to do the email delivery. All of the code is custom ASP.NET and C# stuff I've written. I'm kind of a web developer by day, so I figured I could use that knowledge and build a system that was almost completely automated. So all of the signups are automated, and there's really nothing I have to do other than handle customer service email, which I've hired a girl that lives in my town to do that for me. So I can, you know, if I really wanted to, I could step back from the business for quite a while and have it run by itself, which is kind of nice.
Very cool. All right. With the emails themselves, what type of format are you sending these? Are they text-looking emails? Are they templated HTML?
Sure. So I'll put a link in, or we can put a link in the show notes to what I use, but there's a template, but it's pretty basic. It's just got the logo on top. There's a place for a little ad in that, and then it's just all content straight down, and then there's a footer in a different color. So it's there's a template, but it's pretty clean, and I think that's kind of the way to go. I think people see big image-heavy templates, and they just think of it as an ad and archive them or delete them right away. So I try to avoid that in my marketing emails. Those are all just plain text. And those seem to do better than fancy templates for me.
Yeah, same for me as well. So that is very interesting. What do you think would be a lesson that someone might get some value from about the email component of this? Do you use single or double opt-ins? Have you had any major hiccups with delivery or spam reports or whitelisting or blacklisting of certain words?
So right now I do single opt-in. I've always done that. And then I just go through SendGrid every week, or my assistant does, and just takes out everybody who bounced off the list so that we don't keep trying to emailing them. I had my SendGrid account suspended once just because I sent out three marketing emails in 3 days, and apparently a lot of people on my list didn't take too kindly to that. So that probably was a mistake, and I just had too many spam reports. So I had my account suspended for like a day, and then they turned it back on. And one thing that I've done to minimize their spam reports is if you put an unsubscribe link at the top of your newsletter, people are more likely to click that than the spam report, because then they can know they can just get off the list for good. So I recommend doing that now.
I heard one shady character put a link in the top of their email and it says, click here to report spam, and they linked it to their standard unsubscribe link.
Hmm. That's not a bad idea.
Pretty shady. So anyway, right. So getting the emails through is pretty important. Do you get them? Is there any other way they can get the information other than just via email? Do you see things like RSS or SMS or social media feeds or a website portal as a possibility?
Yep. There's a few different ways that people can get the information. So if you're a paid member of if you're subscribed to the premium newsletter, you can get SMS alerts or email alerts for the stocks that, you know, you follow specifically. So I could get a text whenever, say, I was following Apple and it got downgraded or whatever. So I added that in the last few months and people seem to like it. The information is on the Analyst Ratings Network website every day. Some people like it that way and they just get it, which is fine with me because eventually they'll click on an ad or sign up for something, I'm hoping. There is a Twitter account I do, but I haven't gotten a lot of traction with that yet. And then I was syndicating it to StockTwits, but they didn't like that I was doing it in an automated fashion, so they kicked me out. So that's kind of the other options right now. Maybe one thing we could talk about quick is subject lines that do really well. I've gotten a couple that.
Yeah, tell me about subject lines that do really well.
The two that I've had the best luck with in kind of everything I do, the first is I stole from Dane Maxwell, who does the foundation, is just the subject line, strange question, and then a question mark. And that seems to do pretty well. And if you do an email from a woman's name, so I use my assistant's name sometimes for that, helps open rates. And the other one that I've used, and I think it's an old Dan Kennedy one, is bad news. And then there is one that I did that pissed a lot of people off, but worked pretty well. It was for my assistant's name, and it was, "I'm sorry, I have to tell you this, dot, dot, dot." So it was kind of another, a play on the bad news theme. And that worked surprisingly well, but I had some people that were not happy about that subject line.
Well, I think there's a lot of information about tying your subject lines to, you know, tricking people into opening. You've got to follow through with something useful, or else you can build a little bit of a trust wedge. Do you, you know, you're sending out 50-something, 55,000 emails on these broadcasts. Do you, are you happy with the open rates and the click-throughs?
Yep. So my open rates are, I think, around 15%, but it's hard to say how accurate those numbers are because that relies on the person clicking display images for that to work. So those metrics are, you know, MailChimp and AWeber knows people do it all in the same way, but just because it says 15% open rate, it might actually be 20 or 25. And I never spent all that much attention on it. It's hard to measure, and, you know, you can, you know, really what you want to measure is the results that you're getting from those emails and how many people actually sign up because of them. And that's kind of the metrics I pay more attention to than open rates and click-through rates.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, profit's where it comes, right?
Yep. Because I can tie, for every marketing email I send out, I can track how many conversions come from that email specifically. So I can see if somebody clicked through to the landing page, bought, and it was from that email.
Yeah.
So that's the big metric I pay attention to.
Well, Matt, this has been very interesting. Again, you've got plenty of exciting business models in play. I like this one because it's more advanced than just the AdSense model. The AdSense model is really building on someone else's publishing platform, and someone's getting more value than the person hosting the site generally, if someone's prepared to pay for that. This business, I think, gives you infinitely more control, options to scale, monetization things. You can see what other people out there are doing, like Sovereign Man and Timothy Sykes, and get lots of clues on what could be next. So thank you for so generously sharing your stats and figures and how it works. And I think listeners could certainly turn their email subscription into a paid newsletter, because that is a recurring subscription model, and I'm a huge fan of that. And you own the customer's details, so there you go. Have you got any final words of wisdom for our listener, Matt?
Yeah, I think the key is, if you're going to succeed in internet business in the next 5 years, you really have to do something that is, A, something where you own the customers, and B, something where there's a barrier to entry and your unique skills can get you beyond that barrier. Not everyone is going to know how to do email marketing in the way that I do it, but anybody can stick up an AdSense site. So you really have to think about how you can move up the value chain and not be just another internet marketer with an AdSense website. If you're going to do well in the next couple of years, you have to do something unique and something that not everybody just could do that had some time. You really got to think about what your skill set is and how you can apply that to, you know, a business model that only you can do.
Fantastic. Well, there you go, folks. That's Matt Paulson from mattpaulson.com, MattPaulson.com. And Matt, if listeners have questions about this newsletter model and they ask a question right below this podcast on superfastbusiness.com, would you be able to pop by and answer a couple?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.